Hello.
Hi. So this is actually recording. So it's work. So we'll just be using this for our. And so I think after this is over, I will figure out how you get this off of here. But for
Okay.
the time being, we will just go with it. So I'm Tammy.
I am Tiffany.
And we die first, obviously, with technology as well. So I'm gonna just rant. I'm gonna just do it, Tiffany. Like
Okay.
I don't think that I like Anchor anymore. I will still use it to upload because it is the most efficient cross-platform thing that there is. But the thing, like this thing like always like shuts down in like the middle of like recording, and it is annoying. And we will be 10 minutes in getting our gab on, and all of a sudden the stupid thing hangs up, and it is annoying, and I hate it. And it just really annoys the bedazzled out of me. And that's
Bedazzled. That's a
the it does. It does.
Tammy, such
And
language on the
it
podcast.
does. I'm just like
Bedazzled.
greatly frustrated. And so if this doesn't record to me, then I don't know. I mean, I can't really see it, which is what's annoying me about it. But there is a little thing that is up on my thing that says your call recorder is enabled. So I'm assuming that's recording and I'm just in total spy mode. So
Well, at least you have Wi-Fi wherever you are, because apparently the signal is not working that well over here on my side of the house. So I was just like, God diggity dang.
Well, it's just so frustrating because this is like, I mean, we're trying to record a freaking podcast. So it's just like I can't even record the stupid thing because this thing is like I don't even know. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about Anchor anymore because they're gonna make me mad. And yeah, so anyways, we have decided to do some deep dives on movies that we love. And if you guys like this segment, let us know. And we will continue to do deep dives because we're horror movie fans. And although the world of horror keeps producing more and more news every day, we think it's good to go back and talk about some really great things that have happened in movie history already. So tonight we're going to feature one of my favorite movies. And I think it's one of Tiffany's 10th millionth favorite movies, Dawn of the Dead, the original, not the remake, written by poor James Gunn, R.I.P. James Gunn's career. I'm just kidding, he's coming back. He's going to be back on Guardians of the Galaxy, I already know. But the original, written by
The
George
curse
Romero,
doesn't get him.
it's the Chris Pratt curse does not get him.
Chris
He will.
Pratt does going to him.
I mean, that curse is like the worst thing that ever happened.
It's
Anyway.
vengeful, hateful, and petty.
I mean, it does things to people that's just not right, but okay. That being said, what we want to do is kind of talk through Dawn of the Dead and talk through, I guess, what we like about the movie, what is cool about it, and then kind of talk through, I guess, the movie itself. And I mean, we could talk about some things that we think are stupid in the movie as well, but I
Oh,
mean,
yay.
but it is considered to be a horror masterpiece. Like, I mean, that movie, if you go look at Rotten Tomatoes right now, it has like almost 100% score. I mean, it's like considered to be a horror masterpiece. I mean, what do you think? You prefer the
Well, it
remake,
was
right?
a well, to be honest with you, if you were to compare the two, I like the original better because they were able to work together for a common goal. It wasn't their fault that things fell the way they fell, but they can truly say they did give it a good, honest go. But the second one, it was just like somebody just took a bunch of drama and threw it in a fan and, like, oh, see this Rorschach paint I made? have this drama that I threw in the stand. So I mean, it got batshit crazy pretty quickly up in the remake. So I do like the original. I just wish it wouldn't put me to sleep, because there's only a few things that put me to sleep, like Jim Gaffigan and that Dawn of the Dead supercut remake of, not the remake, the supercut original, which I didn't even know was out there until I found it one day, and there you go.
What's so funny is I tried to watch Jim Gaffigan last night, because I was telling Jake how funny you think he
put you to sleep. He put you to sleep, didn't he?
I was completely asleep. Like, the baby was asleep. I was asleep. The dog was asleep. I think Jake was asleep. Like, everybody was knocked out. It's just, I mean, he has that soothing father voice that puts you down. Like, you're out.
Some of his stuff is funny. I've never made it through one of his comedy specials. Really, I will put it on before I go to sleep, and I am out within 10 to 15 minutes. It's like somebody, it's like, I think it's called, is it ASL, where they whisper to you and put you to sleep?
I thought it was called
ASL. It's like audio language something. But it basically, like, it's a soothing tone of voice or music that will put you to sleep. And it just calms you down and puts you to sleep. People, like, if you go on YouTube and you Google it, it's just like, oh, people whispering, basically. And then if you Google people whispering, they'll come up and be like, hey, I just want to tell you that you're awesome.
That's freaky. I don't want
to
hear that.
And then you just go to sleep.
That makes me, like, want to run. Like, that sounds like that should be in this movie. And it wasn't. So George Romero, hashtag missed opportunity. But he's in heaven or Zombieland or wherever he considers to be his favorite place.
Can you imagine his heaven being with a bunch of zombies? Like, he's like, yay, this is where I want it to be.
He's
in this mall.
He's so funny to me. Like, he's funny, like how John Carpenter is funny. Quick sidebar. We're going to get into Dawn of the Dead, but John Carpenter is hilarious, because I was watching this thing on YouTube today when I was doing the research on Dawn of the Dead, and some lovely young woman asked John Carpenter how he felt about the Rob Zombie remake, and he called of Halloween, in case people are wondering, and he called Rob Zombie a piece of shit, and he said that Rob Zombie went on some A&E thing and lied about his treatment of him and said that he was very cold to him. And he says, I never told him. He says, I told him, go make it your own movie. But I'm telling you, this is the movie that I made, and it's different than the movie you made. And so he was like, so he's a piece of shit. And then she was like, well, what about the movie? And he was kind of like, well, I mean, that kind of says how I feel about that, which was hilarious. And the moderator guy was like, his face red. I guess we can never have Rob Zombie on here. he just called him a POS, like, on my watch. So now we're stuck.
Well, you know, as horrible as that movie is, I mean, he tried his best, but I don't know what Rob Zombie's focus was on that. He was just like, I'm gonna make it grittier, and it was like, did it need to be? I was like, oh, a new take. And like, I remember when it came out, I was thinking, man, okay, this is a new take on an old franchise. This is gonna be great. Let's see what he wants to envision through his eyes about this movie. And then I started watching it, and I went to a theater with whatever said boyfriend I had at that time before I got married, and we went to see this movie, and I was just like, this is a piece of shit. And I'm glad that John Carpenter agrees with me, because I was just like, oh my God.
Well, in the same vein, like, you know, the Dawn of the Dead remake, some people think it's a piece of shit. I don't think George Romero never really said how he felt. Of course, I haven't ran across it. Maybe if I do some research, I'll find what he thought about it. But I mean, outwardly, I don't think I ever read anything that says he disproved of it. But mommy yawn. I literally studied all day, and then I took my test at like 5 o'clock, and I got a 90. And then I was like, okay. And I was like, now I'm not doing anything else. So I have tons of stuff I need to do and I don't feel like doing it. And so that's why we're recording this podcast, hopefully, allegedly. Yeah, so anyways, I'm just super tired. And then I'll have to talk to you in our sister time because my freelance gig, my husband has been like, do you really even need to do that? Do you think you want to do that? And I'm like, okay. So that'll be an offline conversation.
This little sister time without you.
So back to Dawn of the Dead. So, you know, of course, this is our third time trying to record this, so I don't know if I said this or not, but Dawn of the Dead is one of my favorite movies. It is considered to be a horror masterpiece, and it is George Romero's take on consumerism. Literally, like, you know, he felt like consumerism was, at that point in the early 80s, or late 70s, kind of it being a downfall to society. So in his mind, he thought, you know, for society's last stand, what if it was in that very place? And so that is why, you know, the last people that we know of that are alive in this area are in the mall, you know, fighting for their lives or trying to stay alive. And there are four characters in the movie. I cannot remember any of their names. There's one lady.
Here. Hold on.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Peter, Stephen,
yep. Yep.
Francine,
yep.
And Roger.
Right. And I think Peter is the African American gentleman who reemerged in the Dawn of the Dead remake as like a pastor that was spouting off some kind of rhetoric on TV as the world was ending around them.
Wait a minute. Let's just stop right there. So this man was a forerunner for the remake, and the best that they could give him was a role in the beginning as a minister.
You haven't seen that? Like, you didn't know that was him?
No, I just thought it was just like, I heard you know, like you see the opening and you hear the voice talking, but I never assumed that that was him.
Yeah, the guy that's like, when there's no more room in hell, the dead should walk. Yes, that is the original Peter from the original Dawn of the Dead.
No, they could have gave him a better role than that.
Well, they got Tom Savini in there as the damn sheriff. And, I mean, he's the one that's responsible for the whole damn horror thing for the movie. So there you go. Take that into your hat and shake it around or whatever. I mean, and then
I will definitely not put that in my pipe and smoke it, madam, if that's what you mean.
Well, and I think they asked the other two characters if they wanted to come back. And I think everybody was like, no, except for the black guy, because I think he is one of the most memorable characters from...
Well, they are mentioned, but the only other one that they mention is the lady. And they named the store after her in the new mall. So they named the store called Galen Ross in the new mall, because that was her original name. And that's why they put her in a new mall.
That is super clever. I did not know that. Is that in your research? You did some research.
Yeah, I did some quick Googling in between yelling at cats and my husband. So there's that. And we'll get to this probably a little bit later, but there's 14 things you probably didn't know about the Dawn of the Dead, the remake.
Well, and so I didn't know that. And these are two, I mean, the zombie genre is my favorite. And these are two movies that I've seen multiple times. So I didn't know. I learned something today. You've taught me something. I'm grateful.
So noble and wizened.
I'm grateful for that type of teaching. So, okay, back to the movie. So there's the four characters. What's their names again, Tiffany?
It was Peter, Stephen, and Francine.
Okay. So
and Roger, I'm sorry.
And Roger. So Roger and Peter are police officers, and Francine and other guy, Francine and Stephen, are a couple, and they're both reporters. So when the movie opens, the movie opens in the news station, and everything has gone to shit. Like, people are like walking on air and talking, and people are like using the loudspeaker, and like they're on air, and people are like, get the fuck off the loudspeaker, we're goddamn trying to make a TV show. And like, Francine is like asleep on the floor, she's supposed to be working, and so her boyfriend Steven says that, hey, I'm a traffic copter guy, I'll be flying around, let's get the F out of here. And so then her boss actually tells her, go ahead and go, we're turning this off in like an hour, which is like sad, because that means humanity has failed, like they're getting the hell out of there, like they're like, screw it, abandon. So they get ready to leave, and then we cut to the gang fight scene. So are you with me, Tiffany? Did I lose you? Did the cat eat you? Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay,
still
I thought here. I was like, oh my God. Like,
no.
I'm off there again? Okay.
No, I'm still here. I'm just, I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm like brazenly going through the footage as you're talking. So as you're talking, you're guiding me through the.
Right. So we're at the gang. There was a gang, and I'm not labeling people, but in the movie they say there were a group of Puerto Ricans. I don't know if they're really not. Who knows? But
for legal purposes, we shall call them the Motorcycle Club.
Right.
The Angry Motorcycle Club. But we all know what they really were, which was a chain gang. But we're going to call them a Motorcycle Club.
Well, so they are fighting. And Peter and Roger are both cops. And they're involved in that. And some of these cops are like wackadoo. There's this one crazy guy who, if he were around today, he would definitely be pro-Trump. And he was like, sorry, pro-Trump people. I'm just saying, he fits the Trump stereotype. So, Trump person stereotype. Anyway, so this guy, he just like freaks out. And he starts calling, like yelling at people on top of the buildings and like, you know, doing just wacky, crazy things. And they're like, hey, dude, calm down. Like, it's the end of the world and everything, but you ain't going to be running and jumping off shit. But he keeps on doing this. And then I cannot remember. I think he got killed. He got the footage. Did he get killed? He got killed, right? Because I think he, like, accidentally falls off the building. That could be wrong. Don't quote me on that.
Let's see. They are clearing out the mall.
No, we're not even to the mall. They haven't even.
Oh, this was before the mall.
This was before the mall. Oh, God. It's going to be a long podcast, y'all.
I typed in Dawn of the Dead, and like all of the cuts came up at one time. So I was just like, oh, sweet Mother Moses, I don't have this much time. So, long story short, yes, he ended up having to either jump to his own death or they pushed.
Well, and let me just side note why there's so many cuts. And I may have said this already because we, again, have tried to report this 5 times, and so I don't know. But Dario Argento, I think he owns the European licensing rights, and I think George Romero owns the American rights or something like that. And so in Europe, I mean, Dario Argento has, like, remixed that sucker 50 million times, and so there's all different cuts. So that's why if you were to go watch the movie on YouTube, which you totally can, the whole movie's on YouTube, go watch it before they take it down after hearing this podcast, you'll see different cuts because there's so many. And Dario Argento, like, he was like, okay, Giorgio Romero, like, here you do this, but in Europe I do that. You like my Italian man accent? It's great.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
it's great. But one thing to know, in case you guys don't know, is Asia Argento is Dario Argento's daughter. Asia Argento is one of the people who was in the Harvey Weinstein thing and was in a big part of the Me Too movement. She also was in a Living Dead movie. She was in the last theatrical release which was after Day. I think it's like City of the Dead.
Oh, you're talking about, I know what you're thinking. Hold on, let me see.
There's so many. And I like that movie too. It just seems dated after like the remake of Dawn and then the whole thing with the 28 Days Later. Like it just felt so stagnant after that. Like I get what Jordan Brown was trying to do.
Land of the Dead.
Thank you. So she is actually in that movie. I don't know if that was because they're cool, because her dad, but she's in there. So back to the whole thing. But that explains why if you go to YouTube and like Google it or anything, or you might download a copy. You won't tell anybody, whatever you do, it's your business. But wherever you get it from, or you can buy it from Best Buy in the bin at this point, it could be one of the mini cuts because you just never know.
Right.
So Peter and Roger decide to leave after some crazy stuff goes down in the apartment complex, and they go down to the basement, and the people in the apartment complex have decided to keep their dead, like Walking Dead season 2 farm style. And they're all down in the basement, like eating each other, which is insane. And so Peter and Roger go shoot up that place, like shoot them up. And then they decide they're out. There's no reason to still be cops. Like it's done. Like society has failed. So Roger is friends with Stephen, Francine's boyfriend. So they all go in the traffic copter together. Not before they almost get the copter stolen by another group of cops, which the actor that was in that group of cops is the actor who ended up being one of the army people in Day of the Dead. Quick little note for you there. So they head out. They get to take a look of everything. And this is when you start to see how quickly society falls, because they're in like a huge city and you see society has fallen so damn quick. It's like not even funny. I mean, first of all, I'm doing all the talking. Like, what did you think so about everything that's happened so far too?
There's this theory, and I've heard it before, but it's just like 4 days without food, and like a group of people will break out into, it will like break out into chaos, basically. It's like a chaos theory or something like that. Let me look it up so I can be more factual. But basically, it's like you miss four meals and society will crumble into chaos, because you need the, it's not the food so much to survive. It's just, the man's mind breaks down because they can't survive and they can't find food. So people start just basically losing their minds.
Well, if there's no power, there, people say we're like back to the Stone Age. So immediately, like, hundreds of years of innovation, and if the lights go out, that's it, game over. Like, that's why all those doomsday preppers, who, by the way, have great gardening tips, I'm just letting you know, but that's what they're preparing for. They think it's coming, and that's why they're living off the grid. But, I mean, some of the shots that George Romero has at this point in the movie are very, like, well done. I mean, you're getting to see this city that is like a major city that has already fallen, and it's dark, and they're flying out into the night, and they see like below them, there's no movement, everything's quiet because everybody's already dead. So, and then daylight comes the next morning, and like they get to look out, and there's National Guard and rednecks everywhere shooting people, which I'm sure if you're in, you know, a pro gun person, you're out there. This is your time to shine. Like, this is like in Zombieland where they, Woody Harrelson was like, where would we be without rednecks in the apocalypse? Yes. This is like your time to shine. Like this is you. This is your moment. Get your AR 15 or 18 or whatever the AR is, and don't be like me talking about no gun news because I don't know. But get it and go out there. This is your time.
Right.
Enjoy.
It is open target practice for the next imminent future. Not even days, months, years. It's imminent future. As long as you got bullets. And can't go too crazy because you're going to need some bullets. And then,
so they get out of the city. They don't ever have no gas in this damn helicopter. Like, this helicopter don't ever have
it's
no gas.
It's running on E, like my car.
Like, always, though. Like, every day. And I'm like, well, then he has to fly it around the city. Like, why is there not? So anyway, they go gas up the copter, and they run into some, like, leftover zombies there's this really gnarly kill. This guy gets his head chopped off in the blades, and then there is some little kid zombies, which was really interesting, because that guy that played Peter said that it really bothered him to kill the kids. He said that the kids were the nieces and nephews of George Romero, and he said it really bothered him to kill the kids. Like, he felt like it was like, you know, like whoever wants to kill children. And I was like, yeah, I dig that. So he sounds like he's like a normal grounded guy, like not some crazy method actor. Then there's this whole thing that happens as he's killing the kids. The guy, Steven, was like trying to help him, but he points the gun at him. And so when they leave, like, he's like, let me tell you something, brother. You don't ever point no gun at me unless you mean to do it, because next time I'm going to blow your head off. And then Francine was like, anything, you just need to calm the F down, because, and she, they didn't really say this, but I'm just ad-libbing. And she was like, anything, you just need to calm the F down. So they all calm down, and then they get back in the air, and they start flying again, and they fly over a mall, and they say, close. And they see that there's nobody in the mall. It looks pretty abandoned, and they see that it could probably be protected. And so they originally just take over the top little bungalow area. I guess there's like an apartment in there for people like that work on the mall. I don't know, because the mall's not every 24 hours, but it was like that. And then they kind of get to looking around. They're like, we could take this mofo. So they start a plan to take the mall. And so that's kind of, well, Tiffany, and you can talk about it some now. Like, you can tell.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just, as you were getting us caught up to the mall part, I was looking into this, that conspiracy theory I was telling you. There's a 9 mils to anarchy. So basically it's the people's rush and need to feel like they need to stock up on food and gas in a scenario where there's no power, or like there's something, an emergency going on, that the world just slowly plummets into chaos because of the fact that all the commodities are gone. Like, the easily, readily accessible stuff that we're used to on a daily basis is gone. So people just go into chaos. So say, for instance, a zombie outbreak would happen, then people are rushing basically to go get food and gas in the middle of this zombie crisis, and it just plunges us into anarchy. That actually was a good article, but anyway, so they get into the mall, right? So we are, our four heroes get into the mall, and now this is where, in my mind, I don't think that it was the cops. That was something that was added in the remake. I don't think the cops were already in the mall on the old one. I think it was really our four main characters. They get in. They have the smartest idea of getting the 18-wheelers and blocking the entrances.
Yes.
And killing off zombies because there's not a lot of zombies around the mall.
Right.
I mean, they really did work together. I could truly say that them working together is what kept them alive.
They did great things together.
and they got into the mall and right. They, I mean, they really did, and you would think, because well, it's just like the '70s, like,
mm-hmm. like I think it was the late '70s, and in the movie, I could be wrong, but I think the movie came out like right at 79, between 79 and 80. I could.
Yeah. And one, you know, you would just think that there would be some kind of drama between them because of the fact that it's the four of them going, but they work together and they, you know, somebody eventually dies, but it wasn't the three main characters were down three after a while.
Well,
but
now, what's his name? He's not Peter. He's not Steven. He's not.
I think he is Steven.
No. It's not Steven. Like, something happens to Steven, but that's, like, way later. I'm talking about the other cop guy. God damn it. What is his name?
Roger.
So, I mean, it's shortly after that they get in the mall. I don't think that we're jumping ahead, because when they start to decide that they can take the mall and they begin to move the 18-wheelers to block the entrances, Roger gets bitten multiple times. He starts doing this really weird thing. Which, I mean, if you guys have seen the movie, like, y'all tell me, but it's very strange. He starts to like, kind of get hype. Like, he's, like, all hyper, and he's, like, bouncing around. He's like, woo, we got this. We're taking this. We got this. And, like, even the other guy.
He got excited before they actually completed the task. Because you don't get excited in a horror movie before you complete a task.
And I don't know what he was excited about. Like, what was he excited about? Because they were, like, having to kill zombies and, like, drive trucks. Like, there's no excitement. Like, it's not.
There's always that one person that's like, man, we're going to do this and we're going to be okay inside of this. Oh, man, this is all the, oh! And then they are normally the first person to die. But most of the time, it's somebody of an African-American statue, because they're like, yeah, we're going to live. I don't want to die here. Because that's normally the attitude that you get, is that I don't want to die.
Henceforth, the name of our podcast, Clever, Clever Girls We Are. But so the thing is, and this is the thing, he was so hyper, he forgets his bag. And I'm just like, how important is the bag? I can't remember if it had a radio in it or not. But I was like, F that bag. Like, I'm gone. Like, I don't know why he was like, he had to go back. He went back and got the bag. He got bit the first time on his arm when he got the bag. And then the second time on his leg as he was climbing into the window. So, like, he then died. Like, he did already. Like, it was so funny because, like, Roger's looking at him and Peter's looking at him and he's like, do you want me to kill you now? Because I kill your ass now. Like, I ain't got time for this shit. But he does not, because they're friends. And, like, that's one thing about the movie I really liked. Like, there was this great sense of humanity. Like, he did really want to try to at least see if he got better, but they knew he wasn't going to. But, so they take them all. They go in and wipe out all the zombies inside. And then they, like, sit around. You know, Peter nurses Roger the... Well, he can't really nurse him back to health because he's, like, dead. But he, like, sits and waits on him, you know, to turn. And when he turns, he walking dead from in the head. And they buried him in the mall, which was kind of sweet. They made, like, a little tombstone. And they buried him in the potted plant, which is kind of sweet, I guess. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know that I'd want to be a mall plant.
It's an apocalypse.
I mean,
I'm actually at that part that you're talking about where he's like, woohoo, woohoo. He's like just jumping around. He acts like he kind of was a little high almost, but he was. He was almost too excited to. Well, girl was shy. He was like really too happy, you know, to be.
I don't know what
he
it
shouldn't
was.
Have been a part of the plan, probably.
Well, and we forgot somewhere early on before they went to go take the 18-wheelers and move them. Francine tells everybody she's pregnant. And so
everybody hits their heads at the same time, like, so.
And she's like, I don't want to be taken care of. I don't want anybody to treat me any different. Which this is all this lady's idea. Like, George Romero didn't tell her to do that. She's very, like, feminist. When they were doing this interview in this documentary that I found, she was very, like, she told him she didn't want her person to be a victim, like, because she doesn't feel like it's realistic, like, a woman is so hyper victimized, like, straight off the bat. She's like, you know, like, I'm
That's very forward thinking and progressive of her.
Well, you know, and it was the '70s, like it had, people had just been through the sexual revolution. If it's over, I mean, I think it's still going on. Hello, me too. But
girl, they are driving through this mall in a gremlin. That is a gremlin.
Is it a gremlin or is it a Winnebago? Because like I don't know.
It's not a Win. It's a two door. It's the two door. It looked like what's the name of that freaking car? Volkswagen. Like it looks like a Beetle, but it's not a Beetle.
It's
it has
Pinto.
To be a gremlin.
It's a Pinto.
Is it a Pinto?
I think it's a Pinto. Funny side story. So I mean, when I was doing some of my user experience courses, they were talking about like huge brand mistakes that, you know, could impact the user experience. So they named the Pinto because in America, like whatever, it's Pinto. But in I think it's Brazilian, Pinto means like penis. So like when the car went to Brazil,
look, I could just gave
the
you
car
the
went
right
to
now.
Brazil. It was like basically called the cock, the Ford cock. And Ford didn't even apologize for being so like tone deaf. It's horrible. The things you learn.
It's a Volkswagen Sicario.
Really? It does not look like a Volkswagen. It doesn't look like a Volkswagen at all. That's crazy.
I thought it was a gremlin, but yeah, because I googled cars from Dawn of the Dead and it brought everything up, including that damn helicopter.
So I mean, I think from this point on, it's just like a character study on what you do when you have everything in the world, but the world has gone to shit. I mean, that's basically what it is, because like they get all dressed up and have a fancy dinner and don't need to do anything. Like they like the couple like makes out and like they don't even enjoy it. Like she like takes these weird pictures of herself with a gun and her hair all big. I mean,
she had a lot of spare time. I mean, she had big old Texas hair and a gun. She had a lot of spare time.
She put on fake lashes, which took at least 45 minutes by itself. I mean,
where did she even find that glue? You know what? I don't want to know.
Well, she's in the mall. I mean,
yeah,
probably at Penny.
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah, that's probably some kind of place.
She like went and grabbed it when she was getting ready to like, I don't know, do her hair or something. But okay, so that's where this movie I think gets a little long in the tooth, because there's I feel like this character development where they're just enjoying the boredom of the mall. I mean, if you see them doing the tick marks in the little apartment that they have upstairs, it's up to like months. Like she was like not even showing when they went to the mall. She may have been 2 months, maybe 3 months. So she's big old pregnant. And like they're still, so I'm thinking they were there for at least like 6 months. And he does a really great, George Romero does a really great job of like showing like the boredom and the restlessness. But, like, it goes on for about 30 minutes, and I'm, like, about to die. Like, that's when I start getting tired, because I love this movie. But
yeah,
it's, like, the cuts, like, it's such a, like, an artistic thing to kind of just show it and let it slow build. But that's all that happened for, like, maybe 30 or 40 minutes. I mean, that's a long fucking time to show them in the mall, like doing a mall montage. Like in the remake, they just like click. Like Zack Snyder did not have time.
Yeah, it was like a 5 to 8 minute montage of them being in the mall, getting restless. Like I guess that part of the movie on both the remake and the old one, I just never really understood. I understood the restlessness because it was the same thing day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I feel like in both situations, because you are doing the same thing day in and day out, you should have been better prepared and planned
when shit hits the fan.
Right. When mm-hmm. shit hits the fan, you know, it's just like, okay, well, we planned for this. Let's go ahead and just go to, you know, plan B and just and go get in helicopter. Or, okay, well, we said we was going to go get this dude and it didn't mm-hmm. work out. So, mm-hmm. you know, let's pack the get the go bags and be ready to go. Because,
right.
you know, these are the things that we've planned for because we've been in this mall for 6 fucking months.
Right.
I don't understand why when shit went left, mm-hmm. it always is just like, oh my God, what are we going to do? I don't know what to do. I don't, you know, it's just like, it's like they weren't well planned out. It's like, okay, well, their first plan was get to the mall. We're in the mall now. It's just like, well, do I want to die
well,
in the mall?
And like, here's the other thing, like, in both cases, well, not so much the remake because they were pretty much all alone in there. But, like, the original, like, did they think they were just going to have that mall forever? There were 4 of them. Like,
yeah.
did they think no one was ever going to come? And that's, literally, that's the next thing that happens after the montage. Like, people start checking out the mall, seeing that they're there, seeing that she has a helicopter because her boyfriend, you know, she tells him, she's like, you better teach me how to fly that thing because if something happens, I'm getting us out of here. So he teaches her how to fly the helicopter and they do it during the day, which is probably not the smartest thing. And the road warriors, for lack of better term of what they are, see them and decide they're going to take them all from them. And these people are idiots too, but that's a whole different, like, we'll get into that. Because I'm just like, your goal was to take them all. Like, if you just go, you waste all the resources and let the fucking zombies in, how are you going to use them all? Like, how is that going to happen?
And see, and that's the downfall in all zombie scenarios. People get too headstrong and they go in thinking that they can, like, overpower the zombies, and it'll be a big group of people. And by the end of whatever they were planning on doing, whether it was getting diapers for a baby or trying to get into a prison, they're down to 5 people because of the fact that they go in with these great intentions, and then they get surrounded by a group of zombies because all it takes is like 10 more zombies in the group that you have and y'all dead.
Well, and Peter, you know, Peter, like, he only shot like 2 or 3 people because, I mean, the zombies did the rest of the work. Like, he didn't really even have to do anything. All they had to do was focus on getting out of there. Now, during this time frame, Flyboy, aka Steven, decides to go down there and be Billy Badass and try to shoot up some zombies and help Peter with, like, holding down the fort and keeping these people from taking them all, which the zombies were taking them all back, so that's happening. And he gets bit. Like, I think he got, I may be wrong, I think he got bit at first when he was going back to the elevator, and I think when the elevator opens, he gets bit multiple times, and he then remembers, because they had walled off the apartment that was on the second floor so nobody could ever find it, because it's kind of like their little hideaway, their retreat. Like, worst case scenario, they could just live up there. Well, Zombie Steven remembers how to get up there, and he gets them some zombie friends, and they tear down the wall because it wasn't a good wall anyway because they built it with mall shit. And so they went up there, and what's her face? Francine is up there, and she's pregnant. She's like, what's going on? And she sees him, and he's like, you know, dead. And so, you know, she shoots him, but then they're getting overtaken. So she gets out on the roof, and she is going to leave in the helicopter. And Peter's like, no, I'm going to stay here and die. And I was like, Peter, what the hell are you talking about? Like, get up and go get in the helicopter. He's like, no, I'm going to stay here and die. And then, like, right before she leaves in the helicopter, he's like, no, I'm going to get in that helicopter. I'm going to live. And I'm like, okay. So then he, like, Captain America powers up and, like, barrels through, like, 50 million zombies and gets on the helicopter. And then in famous line, he goes, where are we going? And she's like, I don't know. We don't have much gas. And he goes, oh, well. And so then they fly off in the night. And that's how the movie ended. I mean, it's got a little more hope, I would say, than the remake. Because the remake, you know they did. But still kind of,
Yeah. And so, well, you know, my thing is that ending, the 1978 ending compared to the remake ending, I can truly say that it was, excuse me for yawning, it was better than that one. And it gives you a sense of, okay, well, they'll be fine even if, you know, even if they aren't okay, they'll make a way because they kind of got their shit together, more or less. But
she was a pregnant woman flying around. I mean, she's going to be having to feed the baby and all. I mean, listen, I know. You need running water and shit to be having children. So there's all that to consider.
But that goes back to what I was originally saying. So y'all been in this mall learning how to fly the helicopter and stuff for 6 motherfucking months. And you don't have a rally point too. And it's like, come on now, y'all could have scoped out the area and looked around and seen, like, oh, there's a house on a hill far away. We can go to that house.
Well, my biggest complaint is that they flew the helicopter during the day. Like, yes, there's not many people that you see around there, but you have to obviously think. That, I mean, that's just pure, when you say,
unless
you're
rescuing people, there's no reason for you to be driving a helicopter during the day.
Well, but it's like, it's pure, like, you can see his plot development points in that. Like, it's just pure plot. Like, you can tell it's, and because why else would you, because if it were me and you in the mall, like, we wouldn't do shit. We wouldn't even breathe. We'd just be in there, like, holding it down because we'd be so happy we survived this far.
Right. And by the time they get to me and somebody finds me trying to rescue us or rescue us together, I'll be so fat from eating Cinnabons, I wouldn't be concerned about, I'm like, well, it's just time for the zombies to come and take me because I'm 300 pounds from eating all these damn Cinnabons.
And like, shit. I mean, it's just so funny to me. Like, the whole thing is funny to me because it's like, I don't know. But the movie is still one of my favorite horror movies. I think there is some point in the remake versus the original. I think the original, there's a sense of isolation. I don't think that the makeup holds up. Like,
Yeah. I went back and I was looking at it and I was like, it looks like everybody's aged me. So,
well, they all look like black and blue and purplish. And it's like now, you know, skin tones are much more refined.
Well, you know, the effects makeup is way more detailed now. Well, they actually go and look up, you know, different rashes or skin types and how would this look on this kind of skin? How does, you know, decayed meat or a broken skin or dead skin look? You know, they do their research. That's one thing I can truly say about FX artists. They sit there and they'll research all of it.
And I want to say Greg Nicotero was Tom Savini's understudy in this movie. Like, I want to say he helped him because that's when he was trying to get into makeup artistry. And I want to say he was his understudy in that movie. If not his understudy, he definitely worked on the movie. And of course, now for the remake of Dawn of the Dead, he was the makeup artist in charge for that one, which must be nice for him to have come kind of full circle and be the boss versus the understudy or whatever. But I just was like, and I think the remake is more about infections and contagions versus just fear and isolation. Because there's
with the remake, my issue with the remake is that instead of them, it was the same problem with the first one, is that they didn't have a well thought out plan. And instead of them, the theme in the remake was they were never content. Like, they were unhappy. They were happy to be inside of the mall, but they were unhappy to be the only ones inside the mall, which they didn't care in 1978. It was like, yes, we will gladly hold this mall.
Yeah,
they
didn't want the other people to come. Yeah, they were.
Right, because they knew that there would be chaos with having extra people there. And then, so you have these, like, they introduced these bleeding hearts. Like, not everybody felt the same way. So, you know, it's just like they introduced this bleeding heart into the group. They wrote in another character, and she had, we got to save people. We got to go out and find people. And that essentially in the zombie apocalypse has been proven in several, in The Walking Dead, as well as in these zombie movies.
God, don't even talk about The Walking Dead at all.
When you go out looking, trying to save people, you bring a certain amount of chaos within your group. Because a perfect example of chaos being brought in the group is when they bring Rick and them into that clan community that was right after the prison.
Since you brought up The Walking Dead, I'm gonna go ahead. Did you hear? It's confirmed that Rick is leaving.
Yeah, I know.
And
I
it's
heard.
Confirmed that Maggie's leaving too. So like, it's confirmed that they're out. Yeah, I think they're gonna do Maggie's, where like, if her show didn't work out, she can like come back. But yeah, they're out.
Yeah. So I mean, like, you know, but it's always brought up the same thing in different forms. Is always brought up, why, you know, do we bring people, outside people, into the group? Do we accept, do we try to keep our humanity and find new people? In reality, I hate to be the kind of person to be like, oh, well, we just need to just stick to ourselves. But a lot of the time, that's those are the people who stay alive. And in 1978, it's probably why they made it for such a prolonged period of time, was because of the fact that they were in there by themselves.
I mean, 6 months is a long time to make it.
That's a long time.
I mean, she almost made it to where she's going to have the baby. Like, she almost gave birth in the mall. I mean.
Yeah. But if we were to put that same pregnant woman inside of the, pick her up and put her, actually, there was a pregnant woman on the remake. She didn't even make it into the mall.
No, she was like on the outskirts of the mall and she had already gotten bit. Like, she was like at the fountain.
Right. She was at the fountain. She got bit. And she was part, a pivotal part of why they didn't want to stay there anymore, because they didn't want to die in the mall. They wanted to at least die trying to make it somewhere else, which that made no sense to me. That's where the
made no sense to me.
That nice. Maximum Overdrive part kicked in, because, you know, in Maximum Overdrive, they really didn't have a choice. Like, they had to get out of that damn gas station. And
right.
So, but they try to throw that story, like that arc, inside of the remake, and that's what made me mad, because I was like, this is from Maximum Overdrive. They're trying to make it sound like they don't have a choice, they gotta leave the mall. It's like, the only thing they gotta do is bury those people that died, and if they're going to go get the dude across the street, try to get the dude across the street. Me personally, I don't understood what they were trying to do. They wanted to save him, but like, Why wasn't that, nothing was well thought out? That's what angered me. It was just like, it just ended into madness.
And the remake, nothing makes me more angrier when that chick goes across the street for the dog.
That goddamn dog.
I mean, and listen, I love Cookie.
I love animals. I
and
love all
she's
of
like
them.
The bestest, sweetest dog.
Best
but, it, but if her ass was across the street in a zombie apocalypse,
and we would have a candlelight visual for her.
I mean, listen, the dog was fine. The dog survived to the end of the damn movie. Like, he was fine. It was them who got all effed up. So, you know, she would have figured it out. Cookie, smart girl, should have found a hole to hide in, and she'd have stayed there.
And you know, that's what like I said, they introduced bleeding hearts into the storyline, and that was the problem. That was my main drawback from the remake, was because of the fact that, okay, so we had old girl that was the nurse. She knew how to take care of people, and she was the one who told them from the beginning, you know, hey, you know, I think it's the bites that's transmitting the disease or whatever. She was smart, so she was smart enough to know what was going on, and, you know, but she... Her downfall, bleeding heart. Her husband had passed away. She wanted to save as many people as humanly possible. It was ridiculous. Then you have
her
the
character
other girl.
Annoyed me greatly in that movie, though. Like, I
yes,
can't help
she
it.
It's just, she was like, like, she was like a nagging wife the whole time. Mm-hmm. And as a nagging wife, I can truly say that she was a nagging wife. And she was just like, we should go out there and save the people. And then she was like, I don't want to die. And I was like, oh, sweet mother Moses, did he write her like this?
I'd have been okay to want to die in the mall. Like, I mean, I got Starbucks.
They had food there. They had food there. They had shelter.
I got Starbucks, and I got, you know, pretty much any kind of clothes I want to wear that's nice until I get taken out. I mean, I'm good. I don't see any reason. Like, they would have left, and I would have just still been sitting there like, okay.
Well. So now that we've gotten through the whole 1978 version, and we're kind of briefly touching on the remake, I can go through these 14. Okay, so this article is from Bloody Disgusting, mm-hmm. BloodyDisgusting.com. It's 14 things you probably didn't know about the Dawn of the Dead. Okay, so the first thing is those things. The term zombie is not used by any of the characters in the movie. Instead, they most often refer to them as those things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see, mm-hmm. Zombies take over the world. Everyone has to fight for their lives. I'm sure we already knew that. Here are 18 things you didn't already know about the remake of Dawn of the Dead. So, these are all things referencing the remake of Dawn of the Dead. They refer to them as those things. Number two, the most gruesome zombie. One of the most gruesome zombies, the bloated woman killed with a fireplace poker, was actually a play by a man.
I feel like I knew that, though.
Okay, number three, makeup and blood cart. Mm-hmm. As many as 50 makeup artists would be working on transforming actors into zombies for days that required crowd scenes.
Awesome.
They have 50 different makeup artists. Number four, Galen Ross. The name of the clothing stores, the name of one of the clothing stores in the mall is Galen Ross, which is also the name of the actress who played Fran in the original 1978 film.
Which is cool.
Number five, Thornhill Square. Thornhill Square Shopping Center, where the scenes were shot, was already disused, which made it perfect spot to use for shooting the remake. It was demolished after. Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, so it probably was on abandon. We need to go hit up abandoned guy and be like, did you make an episode about this?
Well, they said it was demolished after filming was complete.
That's cool.
But it was there. Number six, visible in Luda's room is a can of something called Smeet, a takeoff on Spam. Smeet had previously appeared in Waterworld in 1995.
The name just sounds hideous. Smeet. Oh,
my husband keeps trying to feed that to me. He's just like, you want some Spam? I was like, no, thank you.
You're telling me getting the lemons off the lemon tree and you're just going to live off that.
I told myself, if that's the case, I'll eat tuna for the rest of my life.
I'll be eating the lemons off the lemon tree.
Well, they say, I was also, while I was Googling, trying to find out the names and what car that was, they say that there's like 40 foods that hold up an apocalypse. And guess what was sitting on there? A can of Spam. I was like, oh.
Gotta do what you gotta do.
All right. So that was number six. Number seven, Starbucks refused to be the brand used in the movie. The mall coffee shop ended up being named Holograms.
And I have no idea why Starbucks would not do that. That's so dumb to me.
Maybe they just didn't want to be associated with death.
It's a product placement. Like, anyways, okay.
Number eight, the idea for the name of the coffee shop Holograms came from a lyric from a Johnny Cash song, The Man Comes Around.
Which is one of the coolest and scariest songs ever.
Okay, number nine, there was so much fake blood used in the film that they had a blood cart on set at all times.
That's really cool.
Can you imagine? Oh, just go give me some blood from the blood cart. Do you need any chunky?
The blood from the blood cart.
Number 10, Kyle Cooper, the film's title designer, was used real blood in the film's opening and closing credit scenes. I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he wrote, like, like they have like the words the end up there. So like he wrote Dawn of the Dead in real blood. Like, how do you even do that? Like, do you write it like on a pad or something?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Like, I mean, how do you graphically design it?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Like,
I honestly
put it. Like, I mean, I'm just trying to wrap my mind around that. Like,
don't wrap too hard. Just let it go.
Okay,
let it go.
Well,
let it go.
Did he use his own blood? I wish they would have elaborated on that. Anyway.
You hung up on that.
I'm sorry. That just caught me off guard. Okay, number 11. Different plots. Unlike many remakes, the Dawn of the Dead remake does not feature the same plot as the original. Well, we all knew that. Okay, so in the original film, the zombies just walk around running into things. In the remake, zombies could actually run, giving the film a whole other element. But I think we knew that too from just watching it. I think you kind of caught that right away, especially if you've seen the OG ones. Anyway, number 12, many fans did not like the zombies running in the remake of Dawn of the Dead. However, this is how they were originally meant to be. Zombies originally written about in the newspaper columns were said to rise from the dead and kill their human prey out of vengeance. Speeding and cunning ways were attributed to the zombies. So I guess that didn't make it to the original film.
No, because they didn't have enough money. Well, and I think George Romero said that the reason he decided to slow them down was because it just was for plot point. Because if it was that quick, I mean, it wouldn't have been Night of the Living Dead. It'd been like Hour of the Living Dead. I mean,
right.
So.
Or just the dead. Okay, number 13. The $26 million budget was recouped in the United States opening weekend, which earned the film $26,700,575.
Interesting. Yeah. Money.
Okay, and then 14th is James Gunn. The writer, James Gunn, was given solo writing credit even though he left the project early to concentrate on another film. That movie was Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed.
Poor James Gunn.
I'm sorry.
It's just so sad. Like, his whole career is just like this.
Scooby-Doo 2.
It's just like this. His career is just...
I'm sorry.
It's just a circle of shame and fear. Like, he...
I don't know how... Like, I read through this the first time, and I guess I kind of glazed over that because I didn't see the smaller caption. I just read the bigger
part. Well, I hope they don't decide to do Scooby-Doo 3 now that he's got time. I hope...
Oh, my God.
They don't do
well,
that.
Well, I would think that they would at least try to give him a better movie than that. Hell, that movie in the office building was better than that. I mean, I don't even want to get on that because I already had brief anger moments today just thinking about different things that happened. I was like, you know what? I'm going to have a good day today. I'm not going to let this ruin my day. An angry tweet. Don't get mad and angry tweet. So, that was my little known facts. I'm going to get on IMDb trivia too because I want to see what they have.
Well, I mean, I'm good with like if we go ahead and wrap, you know, like because I mean, what we can do is, you know, we don't want this to be too long because then people will be like, oh my God, I had things to do. And they spent all that time doing like this montage of their montage. And it's like, you know, they don't know. They're like, man, they just ramble. Not like some people. but I mean, you know, like I met this lady the other day and I swear she dominated the conversation. And I was like, I'm just going to walk off because I don't know what else I can do about this situation. It was odd. But I mean, I think Dawn of the Dead is a masterpiece. I'm sticking by that. I mean, overall, what do you think about it? What is your...
I do. I like Dawn of the Dead. I think for its time, it definitely was a milestone moment in its time, because it was something that we hadn't seen other than Dawn of the Dead and
the Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead, sorry, my apologies. Night of the Living Dead, and they were carrying the franchise on and trailblazer milestone. That's the word I was looking for. It was a trailblazer of its time. So, I mean, I think it did what it set forth to do, apparently, because people are still doing stuff zombie-related now, and, I mean, it was something that was very poignant at its time, and it definitely was, it has set a great massive cornucopia of zombie movies from that time, so time moving forward.
The music on that is, like, my favorite thing, too. Like, I love all the music, the score from Dawn of the Dead, the original. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I think for the most part, I think we've covered all of our bases. We did little known facts and stuff. So,
I mean, we're going to work on this, guys. We're going to try to do these, like, play-by-play, like, scene-by-scene things. I mean, Tiffany fell asleep on the movie. So, like, we can only do so much with this one.
It was a super cut. I'm sorry. I try my best. And then, you know, I've watched this every time. I do know what happens. I can't say that I don't know what happens.
Right.
I do know what happens.
You do know what happens. So you are able to at least have a conversation regarding it. But, you know, going forward, we'll, like, do a little bit more, get a little bit more fancier with these. We'll talk about it in detail.
Yeah.
And this was a Dylan-free episode. So.
Yep.
Although I keep hearing sound in the night and I have mommy PTSD and I'm like, is that him? But, and I should probably go check on him to make sure he's okay. But
right.
Thanks guys for listening. And you can follow us at, on Instagram at, We Die First Podcast and Twitter, We Die First and, Stardust, We Die First. And I do hear him. Like, he's, like, kicking the wall. So, anyways. So, you can hear us at those places. And personal Instagram is at Team Ulas. And Tiffany's is at Tila Truth Burton. Right?
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, it has been a pleasure, as always, talking to my sweet sister. And it's been a pleasure talking to you guys. And we will see you later. And remember,
don't
die first. Bye.
Bye.